Welcome to Back Fence Unhinged, a conversational Iditarod to leisurely enjoy along with the middle of your day, afternoon, or night. You're about to hear an unhinged story about when Q-tips go wrong from Katie Wynn. Then comes the second unhinged part. We'll ask Katie some questions about her story and maybe even share a story or two of our own. Who are we?
Well, you're Andrew Dixon.
And you are Frame Master.
It's so good to be here with you today, Andrew.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Me good.
Good.
Real good.
I'm trying out not using the word R anymore. It's like one extra word I don't want to say. How are you?
Yeah, okay.
You know? Feels good. Try it.
Question. Are you into going to like medical appointments?
No, I'm not into it at all. In fact, I have this screwed up idea in my head that health insurance is like car insurance. Like you should never go to it because it's going to go up.
Oh, and weirdly, that's not how it works.
It's not, but I cannot get over it.
Yeah.
And so I just like never go to the doctor.
Do you even know your doctor's name? Do you have a doctor?
I don't have a primary care doctor at the moment. Like 2 years ago, they moved out of state and I was like, all right, someday I'll. Does AAA help with this? No.
No.
It doesn't.
I lost my doctor and they told me that he had retired. And just for kicks, I got on LinkedIn. He just took a job in Cleveland. I'm like, why
would they lie about that?
I don't know. It's such a weird thing to lie about.
It's not like your doc died and he went to the farm.
Yeah, so I sent him a little note. Said, hey, Cleveland's nice. Yeah, but I think this is not an advice podcast, but I'm going to encourage you. What about the dentist? Are you cool with the dentist?
I'm okay with the dentist.
Yeah.
Oddly, I think I'm the opposite of most people. I think most people don't like the dentist at all. But
yeah.
I do. I love the feeling of leaving a dentist appointment and just having that super clean mouth. Like my gums, all day long I play with inside of my mouth. My tongue just can't get over it.
Yeah.
And it's just like I have to take off work.
Yeah, you get the new toothbrush.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I like a little time in the chair myself. It's very.
Do you?
Yeah, just kind of zone out.
Do you like the gas? I like the gas.
Oh, yeah.
The gas is awesome.
Yeah. Well, hey, who's our guest today?
Well, I'm so glad you asked because once again, we have a fabulous guest. Katie Wynn is a writer and comedian. Her work has been featured in The New Yorker and you can find her on Sirius XM. And she's a regular at Helium Comedy Club right here in Portland, Oregon.
Welcome, Katie.
Thank you.
Katie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good.
Yeah.
What can people find you doing on Sirius?
Oh, well, I have some stand-up tracks on there, so you hear me on a few different channels from time to time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I can't remember. I read your New Yorker piece, but what was it? Tell me what the
It was called Times You Didn't Tip Enough and Ruined Someone's Life. So just, you know, really digging deep into, you know, my imagination and what I know is, you know, that time you forgot, the time you didn't have change, and you just altered, you know, butterfly effect. You're doing that every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a good tipper?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I figure there's so many, you know, like if you really zoom out, you believe in like reparations and wealth redistribution. It's like, if I can afford to tip and I'm not going to notice that money, if I'm not going to notice that money missing,
yeah,
I'll always tip. I don't care the services.
Yeah.
That's wealth redistribution.
Yeah. And I also think like, I remember going out with a friend once who was feeling low on cash and she got like 3 cocktails and then she tipped really badly, poorly, poor tip. And I remember going, oh, note to self, get 2 cocktails and save some money for tip. Like, it was like, how could you not do that kind of tip math? It was weird to me.
I'm proud to say my kids, I have 2 teenagers, they are the most lavish tippers.
Are they?
Like, almost the one, like, wow, okay.
Like,
okay.
Flexing on everybody?
Like,
tipping?
$2 on a $5 purchase. I'm like, okay, all right. But they're like, you know, they get it.
Yeah.
They're into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you say they're kind of adulting already?
I would sure hope so.
That's great.
I would love that for them. Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to get out of the nest and they're going to have already some wing strength.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you feel about medical appointments?
I didn't have a primary care physician for many, many, many years. And I finally got one and I really like her. So I like her personally. So
yeah.
I like, she's nice.
You found your person.
She's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Katie, I understand you have a story about a visit to a medical professional.
Yeah, it was unplanned. It was right after I moved to Portland, Oregon. I was fresh out of undergrad, 23 years old. I didn't know a soul in the state. I didn't have any family, any friends. I had never been here before I moved here. And it was like the big adulting move. Because in undergrad, I lived with like my best friend from like elementary school. And I went to school in Wisconsin. I'm from Minnesota. I didn't really feel like the whole go out on your own. So I moved out here on my own. Didn't have a car. Didn't have a smartphone at that point either. I remember my dad, when he visited me. You remember when GPSs were just like a standalone electronic device?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like you also had to carry around your iPod, right? Everything, yeah. No, yeah. Not everything was in
and
your
a digital
phone.
Camera.
You might have had a Garmin.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my God.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Palm Pilot.
It was huge. And I remember my dad like left it with me. He's like, this can be like your Yellow Pages. And I'm like, oh, from one antiquated navigation tool to another. But I didn't have a smartphone, and at that point it was still like MapQuest for me, and like writing down directions on a piece of paper.
Oh yeah,
or printing it out.
Them out. Yep.
Yeah,
the printout
is wild. So I was here. I was living. This is maybe like 6 months into living here alone, a studio apartment. It's doing all right. And then I've had a bad habit for pretty much my whole lifetime. I love using Q-tips.
Me too.
Love it. And it's not a cleanliness thing.
No.
People are like, oh, it's self-clean. I don't care about the self-clean. It's a sensation.
Oh, that rolling it around in there. Oh, my gosh.
It feels amazing.
Feels good.
Yes.
And I could do it multiple times a day if you know, left to my own devices. And in the past, I have maybe given myself one or two ear infections due to it.
But didn't stop you.
No. No, and every single time doctor is like, are you a swimmer? I'm like, nope, he's like, Q-tips. So, yeah. And they've told me to stop, but I just can't. Like, if there's anything I'm truly addicted to, I think it's got to be Q-tips, because I know it's detrimental to my health, and I still do it regardless.
Yeah. Right.
Right? It's not. I'm not addicted like to anything else like right. that.
Do you dissociate while you're using a Q-tip?
I mean, like, I wake up and, you know, feeling fresh and new.
And hearing really well.
Yes, yes. So it was like 6 months in, and I had been using Q-tips, living alone, left my own devices, and I got an ear infection. And I remember at first being like, oh crap, like I got to figure this out on my own.
And you felt it coming on just one day.
Yeah.
Like, sitting there. And
it
just
gets
like...
tender. The first time you use a Q-tip, it's like tender. You're like, oh, this is the time to stop. And you're like, I'll wait till the pain gets unbearable. And you keep doing it.
So even after it starts, you keep doing it.
Yeah.
That feels like an addiction.
Yeah, right? Like, I know it's wrong, and it doesn't benefit me anywhere other than that it feels good.
And there's no one in the room to tell you not to do it,
no,
right?
No, and if I did have a roommate, they'd probably tell me to stop. And I remember, like, first, I'm like, I'm going to go to the internet, right? You know, like, I didn't have, like, a smartphone, but the internet was still, like, you know, it was doing all right. Then YouTube was already around, right? So I was, like, looking on, like, forums and stuff, and I found, like, all these, like, home remedies. I even posted on, like, a forum. I'm like, is there anything I can do at home? And these people give me, like, suggestions, like, you know, like, warm garlic-infused olive oil. And a lot of them voted for it was rubbing alcohol and hydrogen peroxide mixed together.
Oh,
that got a lot of upvotes.
A lot of them voted for that one.
Yeah.
One woman said breast milk, but I didn't have any.
Oh, yeah, not
that's
handy.
That's an awkward door-to-door
yeah.
ask.
But yeah, it is.
A cup of sugar, a cup yeah. of breast milk.
I feel like you could probably get that now, though, just like on DoorDash.
I'm sure, yeah. You know? There's women who are, I don't know, like hyper-lactating women who, like, sell or, like, donate, like, tons and tons of milk to people.
Right.
Did
you try the garlic?
I did. And it was, like, garlic-infused, so I'm, like, so, you know, like, started in cold oil, right? Well, none of it really worked. I tried Listerine.
Listerine.
Not just for your mouth.
Some of these hurt. Some
yeah,
really hurt.
That sounds stingy as all yeah. get out.
So I tried all that and it wasn't working. So I'm like, I gotta like try to go to a doctor. I had never used my own insurance before. I had used my parents before that point, but at this point it was my first time. And I'm like, I gotta find like an urgent care. Websites weren't as, there were websites, but they just weren't as comprehensive as they are now. Like
right.
how you can book appointments and what's the nature of your visit and send a photo to your
care provider. Didn't have user experience people yet.
No. No, it was like, yeah, it was 2011, so, like, they probably had an 800 number. But I was, like, looking it up, and I found the nearest urgent care, and I didn't quite know where it was. I was new to Portland, and I mapped out some buses, and I got on the buses, and I, like, it drops me off on this road. In Portland, there's this road called Greeley, which is, like, on a bluff. Like, it overlooks the river, and there's no, like, houses or buildings on the side of it. It's basically just kind of, like... almost like a highway. It's 45 miles per hour or something on that, 50 miles per hour on
it
that.
It is, yeah.
Just going up the, I don't even know if there's a name to that hill on the east side of Portland. It's like the Bluffs.
Sure. I like the Bluffs.
Yeah.
I get down from this bus. I don't see any buildings. And I'm looking over what is called the Swan Island Industrial District. So, like, tons of warehouses, factories, like, shipping yards, all that kind of stuff.
Large
like
container buildings, right?
No pedestrians anywhere. No, like sidewalks, right? And so, like, I find these stairs. So, I'm climbing down these stairs.
I'm assuming the ear is hurting the whole time you're doing this, too.
Yes.
In pain. You're in pain doing this whole thing.
Yeah, I remember the bumping on the bus up the hill, jostling. And this is, like, it hurt more after all those home remedies.
Fun.
So I end up, after like wandering around this industrial district, I'm like, somebody, I probably look like a lost child. I already look like, I look okay now, I'm 38 years old, but like when I was 23 years old, like people regularly mistook me for a child. So it's probably weird as heck, but you know, like for all these truck drivers seeing this person like wandering around. I find at the clinic, it's just like nestled in there for some reason.
It's truly nestled in there. That's insane.
Yeah, I had to go like at least half a mile in, like, I have no idea why it was there. Like, what else was in there? It was like the only
industrial injuries. That's probably what they specialize in.
OSHA and workman's comp.
Yeah. It looks, you know, it, like for a visual, it kind of looks like it, in Star Wars, one of the battleships, like the, you know, the mysterious white, all the white things and everything, and like all of a sudden you find a doctor's office, like right
all
there.
Angles, all like no like foliage, no natural, no grass. And the doctor is just like super uninterested. He diagnoses me. I already kind of knew what it was. He gives me the whole Q-tip spiel. I'm like, all right. I start like trekking back out of the industrial district, climbing up the stairs to the top of the bluff to get the bus. But it turns out the two buses I had assumed would come back the same way, like an out and back, one of them did a loop.
Oh.
And I didn't have a smartphone, and I didn't have like taxi cab saved in my phone yet because I never used it. And I was just like, I gotta find a bus. So I was just like waiting up there on Greeley for just like the longest time, like, watching cars go by and trucks go by. I'm just in pain, like holding on to my it was like they didn't like send the prescription via email or phone or anything. They gave me like a piece of paper.
Oh, I remember those days.
Yeah.
That you're gripping onto for dear life at this point.
Yeah. And then like, I remember like getting on a bus. Right. And I had no idea where I was going. Like, you know, and I ended up like, once I recognized downtown area, and I live like maybe like a mile away from downtown, a mile or two. And once I recognized downtown, I'm like, I'm just going to get off here. I recognize something. I'm going to figure out a direction. I ended up walking home. It was like a half an hour walk.
That's pretty good direction finding, by the way.
It took me a while. It probably should have taken me like 15 minutes. I have terrible sense of direction. And I make it, and after I get it back to my neighborhood, I go to the pharmacy to drop off the prescription, and I give it to the pharmacist, and they, and this is like something out of like a cartoon or like a joke, like an old-timey joke. They could not read the doctor's handwriting.
Right.
It was not typed. It was just written on a piece of paper. It was not a PCP. They're like, I can't. They could tell what prescription was, but not how much.
And I'm like, that truly is like one of the oldest jokes, that you can't read a doctor's handwriting, right?
Which is so true. Why is it true?
I don't know.
You just have so much knowledge in your brain about the human body, just like the motor skill. No, because I got to find
motor
skills.
Yeah, it's like an ego thing. Like, you figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Picasso. You know?
I know you don't.
As long as I set this bush on fire, you're going to figure it out. Yeah, I'm going to write. Yeah.
I wonder if pharmacists and doctors have like sword fights, you know, or
what
something.
What do pharmacists handwrite? Do they have to write much, pharmacists?
I've always gotten really clear instructions from a pharmacist who's ever had to write anything out on like a sticky note. It's always really clear.
Yeah. It feels like they feel more liable for it than the doctor, you know, almost like, you better not take this with grapefruit. You better not.
Yeah. I've had that one. Don't take this with grapefruit. Grapefruit is mysterious.
I love grapefruit.
Me too.
So they couldn't read his, and at this point it was like after 5 p.m. on like a Friday.
Of course.
So they couldn't reach him. They emailed the clinic. They didn't get back to him Saturday, didn't get back Sunday. Monday's back in. So
you're suffering this whole weekend.
Ear infections hurt. I don't know the last time you had an ear infection. Like, I feel so bad for babies because like it really hurts.
Yeah, they are no good. And they're so close to the brain. It kind of freaks you out a little bit too.
Yeah.
And eventually, like the Monday, he got back to them and I was able to get my prescription. And I remember, like, I had met a couple friends in Portland at this point, but I didn't, like, know them enough to, like, rely on them like that.
They weren't ready for an ear infection discussion.
No, and, like, it take me to the urgent care and the, like, me admitting why that it's my own doing.
Right.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah. I feel like airport, take me to the airport comes before I have an ear infection.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I could have gotten a taxi, I guess. I don't know. But once later on, when they did tell them, they're like, why the hell didn't you just like ask for a ride, dude? And I was like, I was being an adult.
I was figuring out on my own.
I was figuring out on my own in the most painful way possible. But I did it. And
you got through it.
Yeah. And it's 100% all my fault.
Right.
Yep.
Are you still tipping?
Yep.
Yep.
This morning. I'm going to do when I get home. I'm wearing your. Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe I've told you this once before, but like my favorite Q-tip thing is to actually dip them in hydrogen peroxide and just put them not all the way in your ear, but just let the hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, you're hardcore.
Trickle into your eardrum. Uh-huh. And it just like, you can hear the crackling and it just like feels, it's very soothing.
Like elementary school volcano.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's really soothing and I like it. I like to do that on both sides. Have you ever done that candle waxing thing where you draw?
I've watched it all like debunking on that. Yeah. It's pretty debunked.
It's not true, but it is a weird, I've done it. It's a weird experience to do it. Yeah, because it's really warm. And then, I mean, this goes into Dr. Pimple Popper territory here, I suppose, some of the stuff where we haven't really gotten to the gooey, gooey grossness of it. But I'm just going to say that the experience of the product is crazy of what transpires after it pulls the wax out of your ear.
As in like the sensory experience?
Yeah. It's a really delightful sensory experience.
Oh, hell yeah. I love shooting the... I love a detachable shower head for many reasons. You can clean it easier, all that kind of stuff, but I love blasting in my ear every time I take a shower.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm not supposed to do that.
Wow. Okay. Have you ever talked to like a psychologist about what's the ear?
Some
ear
Freudian fast? Kind of...
Yeah, what's the Freudian ear canal situation?
I'm like a... Like an itch, like a bug bite. I've gotten way better about it, but I was the kid that could not stop scratching the bug bites. It would get big, 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 and they would never go away because I'd scratch them all the time.
And everyone's like, it's going to get infected. It's going to get infected.
Yeah, I'm like, it's just going to make it worse. I'm like, it's worth it.
Do your friends consider you a good listener?
I'm way better than I'm a good listener now. I don't think I was always a good listener when I was younger.
I'm just trying to think ear things.
I know, ear things. Yeah. Not being heard could be the other side.
I also don't like a lot of ear, like headphones, earbuds. I love Q-tips in my ears, but like other stuff, I'd much rather listen to something on like a crappy, like laptop speaker quality than like a higher quality, like in-ear earbud.
Wow. I have so many friends who are like audiophiles and they're always talking about sound and like they don't, they only like things. Like I asked a friend to go to a musical with me on this coming week and, but he's a sound pro. He's a musician, like really knows producing and like where all the sounds are that you're hearing. And like, and I was like, but I don't know if you're going to want to go to this. Cause like, is it enjoyable for you if the sound isn't perfect?
Right.
And I haven't seen his text back, but he's probably like, I don't want to go to that cause the sound won't.
If that's all you can focus on.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a super taster?
I've heard that before. What exactly does it mean?
It's like people can like, they can't eat cilantro because it tastes like soap. And, you know, people who just have a really developed palate.
I'm really good at identifying flavors, but I don't have anything that is like outright like grotesque to me or tastes like soap or anything that's like I recoil from. There's no flavors, thankfully.
Do you have an addiction? A weird, like I have a friend whose father, similarly a father who always was cleaning his ears with his car keys.
Oh.
Same thing as you. Okay. And he also had to go to the doctor.
If you don't got a Q-tip, you got to use all kinds of stuff. Yeah. I've used a
bobby pin is great.
Bobby pins.
Like the end, round end of a bobby pin because it really gets in there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I have a similar. I don't know that to the extent that you do, but I love it so much.
Yeah. What about you, Fran? Do you have a weird?
Do I have a weird?
Or not weird. Not weird to you.
None of these are weird.
Yeah, not weird
this
at all.
Just like, this is a pretty common thing. The Q-tips
it's very common. Yeah. It's not peculiar at all. I'm not a person who bites my fingernails. That's another super common one. Mm. The only thing I really say is I'm really paranoid about my elbows. I feel like my elbows they're kind of darkened a little bit and I have to cover them up all the time, which doesn't seem like the same category to me.
Mm.
But I do, like, if I'm going on stage, I check to make sure that my shirt is rolled up just to, like, below the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of exposing my elbows.
I'm every time I go on stage, I check my fly. That's definitely that's my fear is
not, has it like, ever, have you ever?
I think so. I know. Cause you know, you get those jeans and you're like, God, they're so perfect. They fit so great. But the fly always falls down.
Yes.
So I'll, you know.
That reminds me of one time. I was going on stage for a sketch comedy show in LA, and I was just like wearing a white t-shirt and apparently not a padded bra. And we had gone out for rehearsal, and one of the other, my members' moms had been in the audience, and she came backstage and she said, your nipples are like wonkus. And I had never thought to myself to look in the mirror and like straighten out my...
She commented on the geometry of them?
Just like that, you know, like when you put them in the cup, like yeah, they might settle in separately. I mean, at a certain size of breast, I'm guessing. And so then usually you kind of place them in there once they're in the cup.
Was this intermission or after the
show? No, this is before the show. We had just done a rehearsal. Yeah, and so she was like, before you go out on stage...
Okay, this is...
So she was like... You know, align your nipples. And after that, I was always like, well, now here's a new, I don't have to jet my fly sometimes, but I do have to align my nipples before I go out on stage.
I did an auction not too recently, and the MC said, hey, would you be okay if I fixed your tie? And I said, yes, please do that. And it really was a nice moment, you know, before I go up there and ask for money.
Yeah, I appreciated the note. Yeah. And I just like never thought of it before. Just,
anything people can fix, you got to tell them.
Yeah. Yeah.
The little clasp on the necklace right in front of the pendant, right?
The tag coming out.
Yeah, the tag all coming the things. Out.
Yeah, the food and the teeth.
Mm-hmm,
what about the, let's take it one step further, if you have a friend who has bad breath. That's a harder one.
That's a harder one.
Is there anything they can do about it?
Well, you don't know. They might have a medical problem because with the bad breath.
Oh,
you know?
And then they're like, I know, and I've seen all the specialists. Yeah. And don't tell me your home remedy.
Yeah.
Because I've already tried it. 14 years ago.
It's a hard one.
I don't think anybody I'm close to has actually dealt with like chronic halitosis. I don't think. Because that's something like you would know, right?
Right.
No, I don't think people know.
Really?
I don't think they do.
I thought that was how bad it was. That like you can't not.
You don't smell it anymore, I think. You know, you just get used to it.
But I mean,
ask a cat.
I just was actually thinking about my friend growing up with their cat. Their house smelled so deeply of cats. And I was sort of like, are you not picking up on this? Because it's really overpowering.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But they were just all used to it.
Oh, God.
Well, speaking of cats, it's time for Bree's Hot Minute, brought to you by Pal Store Manager Bree Hogue. Bree has been sitting in a chair. A swivel chair, stroking a cat, listening very
closely. And cleaning
closely.
The cat's ears,
yes,
I think.
Exactly, with Q-tips, listening intently, and she has some book recommendations based on Katie's story.
What I loved about this story is how normal and mundane, in a good way, it was, and how it described a very ordinary part of life, running errands and trying to adult. I love books where not a lot happens, but the simplicity of the story is thought-provoking. Stoner by John Williams is a classic novel that beautifully illustrates this type of story. There's not a lot of action or plot, but it's a wonderful story of a man making something out of his life from stark beginnings and navigating those existential moments in life to find comfort in solitude and inner strength. My second recommendation is the poetry book, The Catalog of Unabashed Gratitude by Ross Gay. Ross Gay is a true treasure, and he has a genuine interest in finding joy in ordinary things and ordinary people. I can't recommend his poetry and essays enough, and no matter what type of day you are having, reading Ross Gay will always make you feel better. Back to Fran and Andrew.
Thank you, Bree.
Thank you, Bree.
That was amazing.
Katie, where can people learn more about you and what you are doing?
You can check out, I have a website, just katiewynn.com. We've got a link tree, got links to show, or got show calendar, got some links to like PBS Kids series that I did, Mega Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Short film I did called Crouching Comic. Those are all on there. So katiewynn.com.
Amazing.
Go look up Katie.
Yeah. Well, before we get to our last question, we just want to thank you, the audience, for listening.
Thank you.
For liking and giving us stars
and subscribing
and sharing and, you know, sending an episode to a friend. We really appreciate it.
We do. We do. And we always end, Katie, with asking people the same question, which is, what is something maybe trivial to a lot of people, but not to you, and it makes you kind of come a little unglued or unhinged?
I think this is something that anybody who didn't grow up in Oregon and moved here found somewhat jarring. The law that every crossing is a crosswalk. It doesn't matter if it's designated. It doesn't matter if there's a stoplight. It doesn't matter if there's a stop sign. That's a stupid law.
Feels a little excessive.
It feels like it's like, we really prioritize pedestrians here. But have you seen the state of some of these crosswalks? But also, it's like, I have not studied like the design of like, you know, metropolitan areas. But like, you would think that predictability in traffic and pedestrian, like both automotive and pedestrian traffic, would be safer, right? Like, right. You know what to expect, right? But when it can literally be any crosswalk, even, and the fact that we have some designated, but all of them are, then like, what is the point of those? I remember one time, like I was biking, point. And the lady, she was like, every street's a crosswalk. And I was like, I got into this whole thing in my head. And then I was like, well, why do they exist? Cause like, why do we have marked crosswalks?
Right.
If they're all a crosswalk, cause it doesn't make any sense. But like, yes, and it makes it less predictable for people, which I think it makes it less safe for everybody. I think it's a stupid law.
We can hear your passion.
Yes.
Yeah. It makes you a little unhinged.
Yes.
Amazing.
A small aside on that, the coyotes in my neighborhood have started using the designated crosswalks.
See, they get it.
See, they
and I'm like, they follow the law. Like,
it's safer.
The coyotes know. They're like, I was trying to randomly cross, but it wasn't working for me.
OR dot da 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 dot da da da. Every intersection is a crosswalk.
I did not know that.
I thought you were going to go fluoride when you first started talking.
Oh, no. Well, I mean,
too,
that's also. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, doesn't it, in theory, make it less, okay, I haven't studied any of this, but doesn't it make it less safe if every single one is a crosswalk?
Oh, yeah, I think it does. That's why the coyotes, that's why I said the thing about the coyotes. They use the designated crosswalks.
Yeah, that's always stuck with, we have a friend who used to work in urban planning for Portland, and she said Portland had the best urban planning in the planet, and people would come from all over the world to study it. And she said then the department got too big and they moved from one building to two and everything fell apart.
Really?
Because all of a sudden, like, you weren't like, it's one thing to go up a floor, but like,
that wasn't very good planning.
That's next door. Like, I don't, you know, and the two buildings stopped talking to each other. And she just said, it was this, like, all of a sudden Portland's urban planning, like,
that sounds so silly.
Isn't it? It's like a Malcolm Gladwell thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
now I want to make a movie about that.
Right.
And it's interesting because our art museum just adjoined the two buildings. Maybe they should do that there.
Right. Yeah. A little walkway.
Yeah.
A little sky bridge.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little clothing line that you can just zip line back and forth or something. Yeah. That is a crazy story.
Isn't it? And I like how, I mean, I'm sure it's a little more complicated than that, but it is. It's so, like, brilliantly reductive.
I know, I figure there's reasons, but a part of me is just like, it doesn't seem.
Thank you very much for being here, Katie. And thank you, Andrew, my lovely co-host.
Thank you, Frame.
And let's give a big thanks to our fabulous behind-the-scenes editor and producer, Julia Oppenheimer. I am the executive producer, and myself and Andrew Dixon are co-hosts and co-creators. Thank you to musician and frontman for Losslander, Matt Sheehy, for creating the theme music. And thank you to Pals Books and Kiln Coworking Space for making this episode and all our shows possible. We recorded this show at xray.fm. Find them online or at 91.1 or 107.1. You can find out more info about Andrew, myself, and Backfence Storytelling shows and workshops at backfencestorytelling.com. And once again, thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.